We're on page Kuf Mem Vav. We're discussing the idea of clarifying the truth of life and how we say that every point of things that we do, every detail of life really has to be related to the focal point, and that brings a unity to everything that we do. And we gave the analogy of the businessman who everything he does is for the purpose of making money, so everything we do is for the purpose of getting close to Hashem. And we have to keep looking to find that center point, which is Hashem, and our wanting to get close to Hashem. If we do that, we will not drown out in all the details of life without hitting the goal. So we're on page Kuf Mem Vav, if I'm not mistaken. The subtitle is Hashem Yilochem, Lochem V'atem Tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you and you will be silent. Yaduim Divrei Chazal is well known, the words of our rabbis that say like this. Yitro shel adam misgaber alav b'chol yom uvakesh hamiso. One's evil inclination gets stronger every day and seeks to kill him. Shenemar, as it says, Tzofer Rasha la tzadik muvakesh lamiso. The Rasha takes an eye on the tzadik and wants to destroy him. Now, the Gemara continues, Vilmolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Azra, and if Hashem wouldn't help you, Ein Yocholo, you would not be able to defeat that Yetzirah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk continues, Elokim lo yazvenu biyoro, Hashem will not leave the tzadik to the hands of the wicked. Now, the wicked means the wicked one is your evil inclination. So what does this mean? Klomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosan Ba'adam Koach Lilochem Mimhara. Hashem gives mankind the ability, the strength to fight against the evil. But the Creator who created all these forces, Kfar Modia La'adam Hoda Merosh, tells man to begin with information saying, Hoda Brura, clear knowledge, a clear statement. Eina Yocholo, you aren't able to defeat the Yetzirah. This is the rule. You can't defeat him. Dalcha, you should know. Hu Omer L'Nivra, he says to the created being, Yotzarti Oschav, Yotzarti Yetzahara. I created you and I created your Yetzahara. Nasati Lucha Koach, Uli Yetzahara Koach. I gave you strength and I gave the Yetzahara strength. Vanimo Dialach, and I'm letting you know. Hakoach Shinasat Yetzahara, Hu Yoser Chazak, my Koach Shinasati Lucha. The power that I gave the Yetzahara is a greater power than the one I gave to you. So you're gonna lose if you fight alone. That's the rule. That's the rule. And that's how we see people just destroy themselves. And most of mankind destroys themselves. Kol adam bar das, anyone who has any brains, kisheshomea modea masugza, when you hear such type of information, misyash mirosh would give up right away. Im yotzer kol yodea kol yitzurim made mefureshas shekochash al yetzar chazak yosem yochash al adam. If the creator of everything, who knows everything, he testifies explicitly that the strength of the Yetzer Hara is greater than your own strength. Mayim kein tikvas aletzach. What's your hope ever to win? But that's only the first half of the statement. Avakalash Baruch Hu Mosifu Modi Yalad, but Hashem adds on and informs man. He says, we're in the middle of Kuf Mem Vav. He says, Vilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. If it wasn't for Hashem's help. Ah. Yeshli derech shebishvilcha eich lenatzechas yetzar. I have a way for you to defeat the yetzar. Ma derech, what is the way? Tischaber elai. Connect with me. Ani kol yochol. I am all powerful. Lo chaser li klum. I'm not missing anything. I can always rescue you from the yetzar. Okay. Nitain lilmod es divrei gemara lo bitzur pshuto. We can learn this gemara in a very simple way. Ula haven't understand. Shazu siyata dishmaya shmushpas milmala lamata varamakabosa. You can learn on a simple level when you learn this Gemara the first time. You say, okay, there's a concept called siyata dishmaya. There's a concept called divine assistance that flows from above, and a person can receive divine assistance, and Hashem will help you with that divine assistance to defeat the Yetzirah. But if you merit, and the words of the Gemara really can illuminate the truth into your heart, you'll understand it on a much deeper level. Who may vin, you understand, when you hear the words, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, that Hashem helps you. Hakavona, the intent of that word, those two words are, b'midas hagvura hamiti shenimtza b'lev ha'adam. It's really talking about the attribute of control, self-control, true self-control that is found in the heart of a human being. Because that's ultimately, on the ground level, what gets you to win. V'imtishal, enough, you ask, halo gvura zu chol she yoser meisahara. But isn't that group, that strength, weaker than the Yetzirah? So, zu hachitzonei shel gvura, that's only the external of that strength. Aval kutshabrichu ganis b'kula, but Hashem is hidden within all of that. Hu ganus b'chesed shel adam, b'gvura shel adam. Hashem is hidden within the kindness and the strength of a person. So it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu really causing that self-control or whatever attribute that has to come into being to defeat the Yetzer Hara. It's Hashem who is really driving that. Next page. So kolz man she'adam chai im agvura shel atzmo. So as long as the person lives with the thinking that it's only his own strength, b'emes gvurasa shel Yetzer Hara yoser chazaka, the truth is the strength of the Yetzer Hara is greater than your strength. When a person will realize that in the inner reality of this strength that he possesses, it really is, what is he possessing? God inside of him, godly strength. You begin to recognize that that strength that is within you is the strength of the King of the universe, and that strength is unlimited. Alright, so that ability within you to say no to the Yetzer Hara, that ability to do what has to happen, to do what is correct and proper, and to overcome that Yetzer Hara, it's not just your strength, it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength that He gave you, and that strength is an unlimited strength. And that can defeat anything. So, Nekudas HaDvarim Srichan Lios Bur, so the main point has to be very clear. You cannot defeat the Yetzer Hara with your own physical strength. Elu divrei Elokim chayim b'rimot. These are the words of the living God that are very clear. Hakoach lilochem bohu rak kemo shekasuv b'pasuk. The power to fight against the Yetzer Hara is like it says in the pasuk right before God split the sea. Hashem said to Moshe, to tell everybody, Hashem yilochem lochem, Hashem will fight for you. V'atem tachrishin, you guys be quiet. Stop with all your plans. Everyone's arguing, should we do this? Should we do this? How should we survive? All these different plans at the Yam Suf. And Hashem says, just be quiet and let me take care of it. Because there's no way you're going to win. So you might as well let me do it for you. Right? And that's the way it is with every battle we have with our Yetzer Hara. V'avim adayin lo hagia adam l'mahalach shel atem tacharishin bofa mukhlat. Even if a person hasn't reached a clear level of you being silent, to totally integrate that idea. Elagam hu nilcham, but he'll also fight. Right? Okay, it takes a while till you get to that understanding. The final understanding is Hashem's gonna do everything. Really. You're gonna make the decision, you're gonna try, but ultimately Hashem is really doing everything. But you might not be on that level yet. Okay, avavada she'ikra mulcham etzrichlios b'chinas Hashem yilochem lochem. The main war is you gotta realize Hashem is fighting. In other words, you might not be on that level where I'm gonna totally be silent. I feel I have to do a bit. I'm also gonna fight. Okay, if you think you wanna also fight, fine, good. But remember who the main warrior is over here. The main source of the victory is gonna be a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And to realize that what you think you're doing is really very little. It's very little. You're making a choice. You are making a choice. You are choosing to be on the side of right. And whatever efforts you make, it's like you know you can't win. You can't win. It's like a midget trying to fight a giant. Okay, so the midget. So then comes along a giant that's five times as big as the giant. Says, "I'll help. I'll fight for you." It's okay, but I still want to swing punches. It's okay. You want to swing punches? Fine. You want to think you're doing something? Hey, swing a few punches. So the midget gives a few jabs to the giant. The giant's laughing. And then the bigger giant comes and steps on the bigger giant's finished. Okay, so you want to think you had something to do with it, fine. But realize you really didn't, as much as you try, you can't win. So what's your trying going to help? Of course you have to try, but you got to realize your trying isn't going to be the success over here. That's the key point over here. Let's just finish the paragraph, then we'll recapitulate what he's saying here. Kesha'adam shutaf im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kol chayev. If a person takes God on as a partner in his whole life, whom he shtatef also b'chol dover dover, and includes him in everything he does. Certainly when you're in a war, your partner fights with you as well. But a person separates himself from Hashem, imhu he freed es hashutvus, when he separates that partnership, alone you cannot defeat the Yetzer. So that's what he's been talking about over this chapter. He's saying, you know, every single thing we do in our lives has to be with a focal point that it is to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything you do in your life is not a separate disjointed thing, but it's all for the purpose of your business, which is to get close to Hashem. And if everything you're doing, you're inviting Hashem into your world and everything you're doing, then you have a partnership with Hashem. So now it comes time to fight the Yetzer Hara. So you've got your partner there's fighting the Yetzer Hara with you also, and is doing all the work. But if everything you do in life is just a separate disconnected thing that really has nothing to do with anything, and you're just robotically going through different mitzvahs of the Torah, and you're not bringing Hashem into those activities, it's not likely that, you know, Hashem is going to be there when you need him to fight your Yetzer Hara as well. So he's saying that the greatest way to fight the Yetzer Hara is not during the time of battle. It's during the times when there is no battles. When there is no battles, when you're just doing the mundane or mitzvahs in where there's no Yetzer Hara, although it's Yetzer Hara almost in everything. But, you're going to shul, you're davening already, you don't have a Yetzer Hara to not daven, fine. So now, Taka, bring Hashem into the davening. Bring him along with you, take him along in everything you do. When you take them along in everything you do, then that resource is readily available and is employed at the slightest need when it means to be employed, and helps you in so many ways. But if a person's not living that way, so then when you're going to have to start dealing with the Yetzer Hara, you're finished. There's no way that you're able to stop the Yetzer Hara. Now, of course, what does this mean to say? You don't have to do anything? Well, the truth is you don't really have to do so much at the time of battle. You have to do a lot of things before the time of battle. In other words, this work that we're talking about, that the Tzaddik says takes years, that we have to constantly live with Hashem. When you're living with Hashem at every mundane time in your life, and you're living with Him throughout the day, then you'll see that the Yetzer Hara isn't a very big threat at all, because Hashem is fighting for you already. He's fighting for you already, even before you're even asking Him to fight for you. Remember, let's understand. What is the main tool of the Yetzer Hara? What is his main weapon? Remember what the Chovas of Ovah said? What? The ability, good. The ability to create doubt inside the mind of the person. That's where the Averis come from. The ability to create doubt in the eyes of the person. Doubt in anything. Anything. Any area we're having trouble, whatever area that the Yetzer Hara is hitting you on, that area is because you have a certain doubt in that area. If it could range in any area, you're talking Lashon Hara about somebody, so it could be all kinds of doubts. There's a doubt that that person really deserves your love, that this person is really a Rasha, and it's a mitzvah to talk Lashon Hara about this person. When really it's just your own ego that's been bruised. That's all. And you didn't get your way. So, you know, whatever it is. So there's a doubt. And there's a doubt that Hashem really meant that you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara about that person too. You have all kinds of doubts. But the truth of the matter is that if you go with Hashem throughout the day, there's never such a thing that a person gets you upset. Right? How's a person get you upset? Where do you get such an idea to think that that's a mitzvah to talk Lashon Hara about this person? Where does that come from? If you're conscious, constantly God conscious, and as we learned earlier in the last book, you're never going to get angry, because you're going to realize that whatever is coming to you is directly coming from Hashem. And you're, see, we have certain automatic responses in life. Right? Automatic response. Somebody doesn't do what you want, automatically you are going to exert your power. And if you're a control person, you'll exert your control. If you're an emotional person, different things. But, you know, let's just add a simple level. Somebody shows you up, you will show him up. And that is as natural as it is to breathe. Right? As natural as it is to breathe. And you must respond. Because you're such a weak person. You're so weak. You can't control yourself. You know, the guy said something, so you have to, you got to get it back. So you know, then there's maybe more sophisticated ways to it. You know, our more sophisticated ways is a joke, as you know. So if we lived in the 1850s, we pulled our gun out and shot him. Right? So now we're much more sophisticated. What do? We talk Lashon Hara. It's much more sophisticated. It gets us more hell than shooting people. Okay? And we just talk Lashon Hara about the person. I didn't touch him, but I used my wit and my quick tongue to put the guy down and to embarrass him and to talk behind people's backs and et cetera, and to bring all kinds of problems. Right? Now, why are you doing that? Because you're weak. You can't even control a simple Yetzer Hara. You can't even stop and say, what are you worried about what that person has to say? Or the littlest Yetzer Hara, you're putty in the hands of Yetzer Hara. You can't even fight. You can't even fight. And even when you want to. Even if for a minute you say, no, it's Lashon Hara. He says, I don't care. I gotta say it anyway. And you just prove to yourself it's a mitzvah to do it. And you go and do it. You're just putty in his hands. You can't. It's like it's crazy. You look at people that have no control. We all have no self control against the Yetzer. None. People go on diets and they break it 6 seconds after they start the diet. They have mamish no self control. They can't. Here's some ice cream. You know you're not supposed to, but I got to eat it. It's comfort food. You know, it's comfort food. No matter how many, even though you know Dr. Brown's going to yell at you when he sees you on Monday. You know, yeah. But Shabbos. Of course, you don't gain any weight on Shabbos. Of course, no, that's nonsense. It's only if you're eating L'Shem Shemayim, and who's eating L'Shem Shemayim anymore, right? Okay, we say it. It sounds good. Okay, I feel good. Okay, but I'm just saying, we're so weak. So how are you able to win? You can't win. You cannot win. Forget it. Oh, forget it. So I might as well live it up and do whatever I want. No, can't do that. You can win. You can win if you got a partner. And Hashem's your partner. You will win. So when you walk with Hashem, when you're going to a place where there's a lot of people, you stop at the door and you daven to Hashem. Hashem, please make sure that that like King David says, fortunate is the person who doesn't sit amongst the scoffers, and that I should, when I come here, I should, you know, speak to people, and my goal is to make them feel nice, and my goal is to maybe share some Torah with them, and my goal is to be makarv them, and my goal is not me. And you make such a tefillah before you go into the room. It makes all the difference in the world. You bring Hashem into the room with you. So you bring Hashem, he's there. Once he's there already, and if he's been there throughout the day, so he's there. And when you get the insult, you know, okay, Hashem, for some reason you wanted me to get hurt. And that's it. And the issue goes. It passes and finished. And that's how you beat the Yetzer Hara. You think you beat the Yetzer Hara? Hashem beat the Yetzer Hara. Where did you have the koyach all of a sudden to have the self-control to not want to say the Yetzer Hara? Because Hashem's there with you. And he's giving you that self-control that now is inside of you. And then it looks so easy. That's what Gemara says. Gemara says in Sukkah that when Mashiach's time comes, Hashem will slaughter the Yetzer Hara before everybody. And the wicked people will cry and the tzaddikim will cry. The wicked people will cry and say, how could we have not overcome such an easy thing? And the tzaddikim will say, wow, how did we overcome such a difficult thing? Wow, it's like amazing. Those will be like tears of joy. How did we scale this Mount Everest? Well, the wicked say, how could we not climb over this little thread? So they're both looking at Yetzer Hara at the same time. What's going on over here? The answer is, you know, the Rishoyim, they always thought it was easy. You know, they forgot all their failures. And that's the way they always failed, because they always thought it was easy. The Rishoyim always think, I can have self-control. I can this, I can that, I can do everything. And every time they came, they couldn't do anything. At the end, Hashem will show that it really was a nothing. But you know what? You're even less than that. And they don't realize that part. The tzaddikim realize, there's no way I could have scaled this mountain. The tzaddikim understand this more. There's no way I could have beat this. How did I beat this Yetzer? How did I do this? How did you do it? Because you brought Hashem into the world. That's how you're able to do it. That's where the difference comes. So you know, it's like the other Gemara. The Gemara says that... The Gemara says that this world was either given for the Rishayim or for the Tzaddikim. But not for the Beinonim. The world is for the wicked or for the righteous, but not for the people in between. So what's that mean? So what does righteous mean? The righteous means that he's in control of his Yetzer Hara. The wicked means the Yetzer Hara controls him. So if you're a Rasha, at least you enjoy this world. A real Rasha really enjoys this world, to whatever physical enjoyment you could have in this world. You know, you realize, you know, I'm not going to fight the Yetzer Hara. I'll enjoy the Yetzer Hara. And they enjoy their lives, and they're a bum, and they're a shmo, and they have every pleasure they want and finished. And they got whatever they got, and there's no Olam Haba for them. The tzaddikim, on the other hand, they know they're tested by the Yetzer Hara. They vanquish the Yetzer Hara. They take pride and joy in defeating the Yetzer Hara, and they know they're going to Olam Haba. The Beinonim are those that both Yetzers are pulling at you at the same time. The Beinoni, the in-between person, is defined as the person that is Yetzer, that when he's doing a mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara is in there, and when he's doing an aver, the Yetzer Tov is there. It's the person who never really enjoys what he does either way. Why? Shabbos morning, you're in shul. Yetzer Tov. But, you know, I could have slept in. You know, and I could have done this. I could have done that. And I feel bad. I'm going to be so far behind at work because of me being in shul right now. So even when you're doing the good, you don't feel so good. Right? And then Motzei Shabbos, you go out on the town and have a party to wild hours at night. And even when you're doing that, you don't feel so good because the Yetzer Tov says, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. And therefore, you're never really happy. Because when you're doing Averis, you're not so happy. Because you're not living it up to the maximum. Because that Yetzer Tov is nudging you. And then when you're doing mitzvahs, you're not that happy. Because the Yetzer Hara is saying, you know, you could have been having more fun. And that's a lot of us. That we're never really happy with whatever we're doing. Listen, so kind of decide. You want to be a Rush, you want to be a Tzaddik. If you're a Rush, then you'll have a good time. You'll have season sickness to this, you'll have this and that. You'll have a blah. You'll have a blast. You'll have a blast. You know, and that's it. And then when you're finished with this world, well, at least you will have enjoyed this world. We've had something. If you're the tzaddik, you're able to control that Yetzer Hara. And you know, it's just a joke. It's just a game. And then you enjoy the world to come. But us, we're the ones who always, it's like we're forever miserable. Forever miserable. Whatever we're doing, it's like, I want to be able to learn. But you really only learn a little bit. So you really never really get the full enjoyment of learning. Really, you know. They tell me if it's really exciting to learn Gemara and it's amazing. I can hardly read. So whatever I'm doing, I know isn't that great. And when I'm davening, you know, if I really understood the words and this and that, but I can't. So you're always kind of feeling that you're not quite making it. You're not quite making it spiritually. And you know, for me to really be better, I have to invest a lot more time. And I can invest a lot more time. But I know I shouldn't give it up at all. So I get only a little taste of this. And we'll talk about this more Shavuos night. But there's always something else. There's always something else. You know, you want to do this and your spouse doesn't. So now I got to deal with that. You know, you never can enjoy the spiritual moments to their fullest. And on the other hand, when you're doing the Averis, you certainly can't enjoy it to the fullest. And then when you do yell and scream at your kid, and afterwards you feel rotten. If you're a Rush, you don't feel rotten. You say, that's good. That's the way to do it. You come out, smack up the kid, and feel that you're a good parent. That's if you're a Rush. If you're a tzaddik, you lose your cool, and you feel rotten that you lost your cool. So if you're ever vacillating between feeling good and bad all at the same time, is that not the way it goes? It's different extremes, but that's the continuum. So you're never really enjoying yourself. So the answer is why? Because you're not bringing Hashem into your world enough. If you would bring Hashem into your world enough, you'd be able to win. The world, and you'd be saying, I'm enjoying this. This is an enjoyable thing. And when I'm davening in Shul morning, I know there's nothing better I could be doing in my day. This is absolutely the best thing I could be doing. And if the davening goes an extra 20 minutes, even better. Even better. Right? Then the people who say, no, I got to finish by 12 o'clock. What do you say when you say you have to finish by 12 o'clock? It means I have to be here, but, you know, why do I have to be here more than I need to be here? It means you weren't too happy being here to begin with. So there's always this fighting. So it's a constant fighting with the Yetzer Hara. He's driving you nuts. He's totally confusing you. And we lose off, and we lose totally, or to a great extent. So what he's saying, he says, listen, if you're going to bring Hashem into your, if everything you do is focused around the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you're always bringing him there, and that is your delight in life, then you will always defeat the Yetzer Hara. And this is the most common problem, as the more I have to help people, and people come with their problems, I see that this all is the root of the problems. They're not living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They don't live with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they're wondering, why is this? And why is that? And why is this? And why? I'm having problems here, problems here. I said, why do you let what that person says bother you? Oh, I can't help it. So I'm saying to myself, what do they mean they can't help it? So because that's what the Gemara says. You can't beat the Yetzer Hara. So then I say, so why didn't you ask Hashem to help you? I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. So I say, simple, just talk to him. That's for weirdos. It's for weirdos. What are you talking about? It's weirdos. Normal people don't talk to God. So I says, I get benched and there's nothing more I can do to help you. I mean, they can't hear. They can't hear. So that's why we mamish can't beat the Yetzer Hara. So you start talking about certain things, and people just can't hear you. Either you're going to bring Hashem the world. So we talk about the internet a couple weeks ago in Shul. I mean, they had the big asif about it. Right? I mean, if you bring Hashem into the world, you have to do certain things, and that's all. You know, when you're in front of a live computer that's open to the whole world, the Yetzer Hara is going to win. That's all there is to it. I mean, you might win a couple days, but he's going to win. He wins in so many ways. He wins by saying, well, there's nothing really wrong with that. What do you mean there's nothing really wrong with that? Well, I see it all the time. That doesn't mean that there's nothing wrong with that. Well, everybody does it. And I've seen that since I've been a kid. Doesn't matter. It's still something you shouldn't be seeing. You're not allowed to. But the HR says it's fine. And then, of course, how can I live without this? I can live without it. There's ways. But we can't. When you're dealing in hand-to-hand combat with the Yetzer Hara, you cannot win. He's an expert commando. He takes you down every time. So what do? You have to only use from the air. Just drop the bombs and stay far away. And you have to, bite the harder bullets. And you have to be able to say, I'm just not going to sit in front of the computer. Finished. I mean, we can do it. We really can do it. You can do it. That's what's in one of the rabbis who gave the shmooze for Shelley Biluchazor. But, he says, why do we have a computer in our house? Primarily. Okay, there's exceptions. Why do you have a computer in your house? Convenience. You don't have to have it. Let's say you have a job. You work in a job. Okay, your job, you have to have the computer. You have to have a computer. You can't live without the computer. Okay. Mail it. Okay, you have to do it. That's life. Okay. We'll let you have it. Okay? Why do you have it at home? Whatever you do at home, you can't do it work after hours. If you tell your boss, okay, I'm finished working, now can I go on the computer? I finished the report, it's after 6 o'clock, I'm entitled to go home, can I use the computer for a couple of minutes, please? I assume they would let. They don't want you doing it during hours, whatever. I mean, most places will let you use it if they know it's not going to infringe. You say, okay, I'm finished working, it's 6 o'clock, okay, I could go home, but can I just use the computer to book my vacation, please? Or whatever you need to do. I'm just saying, but instead you have to bring it into the house, and then your kids start getting it, and then forget it. And with all the controls and everything, that they're watching things they shouldn't watch. But I can't. We have to have it. You don't have to have it in the house. I know it's a lot easier at 11 o'clock at night. You want to start Googling to find your vacation spot. It's easier than having to stay in the office a little bit longer. But all it really is a convenience. That's all it is. So then, can't you live without that convenience? I mean, you did 20 years ago. You didn't go on vacations 20 years ago? So what did you have to do? You had to pick up a phone. Oh, novel. Pick up a phone. or do it in the office. Sit in the office another half an hour and Google your vacation. But you see, when you're doing it at the office, you're going to minimize. You're going to do just anything because you want to get out of that office. You want to get home. But 11 o'clock at night, the next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. Next thing you know, it's 2 a.m. The HR beat you again. He beat you again. Beat you every time you go in front of that thing. Next thing you know, I don't know how an hour and a half passed by. And of course, you're doing a miss because you started off looking for a Dvar Torah. It always starts off that way. I'm looking for a Dvar Torah on the Parsha. You can live without internet Dvar Torahs. There's plenty of Dvar Torahs. Buy a Sefer. You ever heard of that? Buy a book? Really? There's Torah in books. Oh, really? And but those aren't free. Well, the internet isn't free either. When you print the pages, if you add it up, it'll cost as much as a book. Go print. How much does it cost to print 400 pages? How much different is that than the cost of a book? Buy a Sefer.
It's a stack of
it. And you got papers all over. Just buy a Sefer and learn a Sefer. From the beginning to the end and learn a Sefer. Finished. Hey, go to Sfarim Warehouse. I can recommend you hundreds of good Sfarim. Buy a Sefer until you finish. But Hashem will give you the money to buy another Sefer. Don't worry. So you can do it. You live with Hashem, you understand. This is what you got to do. It's not even a shayla. If you live with Hashem, it's not even a shayla. Of course, you don't bring it in the house. Finished. And there's a lot of things we do because of, being a Jew means you're a little inconvenience. Yeah, you can't just walk into McDonald's and eat. We know that already. You got to find a kosher place. That's an inconvenience. Okay, but if it's with Hashem, then it's a pleasure. So this is where we just can't beat the Yetzer Hara unless we're gonna have Hashem fight for us. And he only fights for us if he's with us. If he's with us, that's the work. That's the hard work. But it's not hard work. It really isn't hard work. It's just do the work. That's what the tzaddik keeps saying. This is not rocket science to do over here. You just have to do it. Just open your mouth, talk to Hashem, keep talking to him, keep recognizing him, keep focusing on him. You don't have to have a high IQ to do this. This is all simple things that are no harder than the water on the rock that penetrates the rock. And really, you're doing nothing. All you're doing is say, Hashem, please be here. And whenever I have a fight, please punch the guy for me. That's all. But to have the ability to ask Hashem to be with you, even that's too hard for us. So that's what the Sefer is trying to accomplish. Okay, Sammy, you were patient with your hand.
This concept of partnership, I kind of reflect on it, because from what we have learned so far, partnership usually entails 50-50 or a proportion thereof. Here we have men zero, Hashem 100%. So where's the partnership?
No, this is man 1%, God 99%. 100%. Yeah, we're a minority partnership. He's the senior partner, we're the junior partner. That's all.
But the 1% really is our choosing to
have Hashem be with us and ask for his help. That's our 1%. Okay. But 100% of 1%. Totally with that 1%. You know, that's not, you know, when you're just saying, you know, you say in the day, oh, I love you, Hashem. And when you're saying, you know, I'm thinking of you, Hashem, and all these things, that's 1%. That's not a lot. That's not, you know, compared to there's a big Yetzer Hara in front of you, and a guy mamish made you feel like nothing, and now you have a Yetzer Hara to talk Lashon Hara. Whoa, to stop that, you need lots of percentages. And that's why we can't do it. And even if we don't talk to Lashon Hara, we still bear a grudge. No matter how you walk out of situations, you've transgressed a few averus. And it's like the person said, I can't control myself. You're right. You can't. That's what I've been telling you all along, says Hashem. You can't control yourself. So what am I supposed to do? Well, get maybe a partner a little earlier before it happens, and you would be able to control yourself. Because then I'd be controlling you. You see, I would be controlling you, but then that's okay. But so then Shelley's going to ask, so where's your credit? What do you deserve for doing that? The answer is, you deserve... Well, that's the kind of question you would ask, right? Right? So... So you get the credit by asking him to be there before you had the challenge. When everything's nice and fine and good, and you just say, you know, I have no real need to have to call on you, just the fact that I love you and I want to call on you. And that's when it's easier. You know. So when you do that, then Hashem's there. When you're down the dark alley and the big... you tell Hashem, okay, you're with me all the time. You're with me when I go down dark, scary alleys also. I don't have to call you extra for that. And you're there. So when the big zlob comes to beat me up, my guy's there to protect me. You know, look at God as your, what do you call those agents that are security guards. You know, people have with them all the time.
Bodyguards.
God's your bodyguard. He's your bodyguard. Imagine a big bodyguard with you all the time, and no matter what trouble you can get in, he gets you out of it. But you have to keep telling him to be there. You have to keep telling him to be there. Okay, so that's and it all comes out of that every single disjointed thing is all focused back into being close to Hashem. And then you're able to defeat the Yetzer Hara even at those times. Okay, next subparagraph. Gimel Madregos Basoka says, now there's three levels of understanding what we just said over here. And what people need to do if they're on these levels. With a portion of certain people, they're in a certain situation. According to their intellectual understanding and what they've clarified intellectually, they've come to this intellectual understanding that clear that the goal of life is closest to Hashem. They know this. And it's clear to them. Without a doubt. They're absolutely sure this is it. Right? I think everybody in the room is at that level by now. I think so. But in addition to that, the heart is feeling a lot of other things. First of all, he feels the evil that's in this world. Vinos of Lakach Yosef, and more than that, and a little more internally, who knows, say, Mishko Shotachlis Gamlin, so he kind of gives a weight to the goal of many of the means in this world. In other words, there's other things that he thinks is important. He feels that are important. Even though in his intellect he knows it's not true, but his feelings are the opposite. In other words, your thoughts are one way, your understanding is one way, but your feelings are the other way. Nagdir, let's try to define this. Im kein, Sholosh Madreges Yesh. There's three levels over here. Yesh Adam Zacha. There's a person who's Zacha. Zacha here doesn't mean merit, as the brackets say, but it means who's purified himself to a certain point. He's Zacha v'huchash as Abriris Buru. He feels this clarity. Not only knows it, but he feels it. Shetach l'sachayim hidvekas v'kutsh b'richu. That the goal of life is being close to Hashem. When we talk kopam shebedabrim al nosi malolu, and therefore, whenever we talk about these topics, afim hu yodeo osam umakro osam, even if he knows them and he recognizes them, ukimat and chiddush, and it's almost like no new insight to what he's hearing, husmachim, he's very happy to hear it. Next page, mashal b'adover. Let's have an example for this. Adam oichel machel od yom v'od yom. People eat food every day. It's the same food you ate. That same steak smothered with onions and gravy. You had that last week. What are you so excited about? I love that steak. I can't wait to get my choppers into this one. So what are you talking about? You ate it last week. You ate it the week before. You've eaten these before. What are you so excited about? Because it tastes good. What are you talking about? It tastes good. Every time my tongue, my palate touches that steak, it gets excited. It's a taste that I like this taste. The fact that I liked the taste a week ago doesn't diminish the fact that I like the taste right now. Everybody likes that. Zuma drega achas shel adam shekvar chash belibo. You know, or there's a different analogy I would prefer to use. I mean, it depends. Some people like eating a lot too. But you know, look at the sports analogy. People who like sports. Right? People like sports. So, you know, you got all the playoffs now. So what are you watching it for? You saw playoffs last year. Yeah, but this is new. What's new? There wasn't double overtime last year in a bunch of games. It's the same thing. Who's gonna put the puck in? Is this one gonna put the puck in? That one gonna put the puck in? You know there's gonna be X amount of smashes against the glass, X amount of brilliant saves, X amount of fantastic goals. It's going to be fighting. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. It's going to go, you know, maybe, well, I want to know. So some go 5 games, some go 6 games, some go 7 games, some go into triple overtime. So like, what's new? At the end of the day, you know, I'll tell you what's going to happen. One schlub's going to pick up a cup and swing around the whole thing. And that's going to be the end of 12 months of work. And he's not going to be shaven either. And they're going to be spilling champagne on their heads. Is it this shlub or that shlub? That's the only nafkamina. That's the only difference. So what are you going to see that's new already? But the guy says, but I like to see it. Now, I'm starting to talk to my kids about it. I'm trying to you know, what's to be excited about over here? So like it's the same thing, but you know, if you like it, it doesn't matter. And like they talk about it and they analyze it. It's like incredible. It's incredible that people have no lives. You know, and you got people making professions on this. It's unbelievable. There's what do you call it? Collateral profession that comes out of it. Then all the guys get paid money to analyze this. It's designed to analyze. The guy smashed him against the glass. And the guy held on to the puck. I mean, and they're trying to make it very sophisticated and like really. Listen, the guy's got the skill, more skill than the other guy. You know, and they learned this. So fine. So you're just watching it. Listen, do you really care about it? You really want to see a good smash and a real good, you know, he deked him out. And there's articles, there's page. You could spend years analyzing this championship and this and that and the machloikas in between this newspaper writer and that one, and what are your poll, what do you think, what are you going to predict, blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing every year, for goodness sake. You know, if one day a pitcher would jump out of a cake or something, ooh, I never saw that before. You know, like it's the same thing. Fastball, screwball, curveball, you know, it's swings, misses, home run. It's the same thing already. But I like it. You like it, you keep watching it. right? Even though it's the same thing, right? So what about when talking about? So now we're talking about spirituality. If you like Hashem, is it going to bore you to hear about that? Yeah. Parents, you know, go to PTA night. You know, again, another one of the silliest things in the world. They know their kid's a straight A student. They know. You know. He comes home every day with 100. He says the psukim to you flawlessly. He knows every capital of the world. He know, like, you know the kids. So now what do? You go to PTA night. You're sitting an hour and a half to be zoicha, to get to the Kutcha Kadashim, to get to the holiest of holies, to hear for 3 minutes. And the teacher says, what can I say? And you just say it. And it's a mizmor. It's like, oh, it's such a good student. Say, yeah. What did you do? You knew this all. But I want to hear it. What are you talking about? That's what my biggest pleasure. But there's nothing new. There's nothing new. You didn't know. Oh, but it's just gishmak. I'm not saying it's not a gishmak. So now when you talk to Hashem, what should be less gishmak? Why are you talking to Hashem less gishmak than all that? Right. So that's level one. So the rabbi, I heard the rabbi say that drush, right? So what was so bad about the first time? You know. So, and you enjoyed it the last time. You're going to hear it again? People don't watch a movie a second time? Yeah, it's the same thing. So level number one is the person really, he feels exactly what he knows. And when he hears it, so for him, hearing the Dvar Torah is like another steak for somebody else. It's another Stanley Cup game for somebody else. It feels the same way. Okay, to be continued the other levels.